Disputes over proposed timber sales are nothing new to the region. What might surprise you is the number of ways in which the two sides, and sometimes there are more than two, can disagree. Timber and terminology form the center of the dispute over the White Castle timber sale proposed for the Roseburg District of the Bureau of Land Management. Two conservation groups recently joined up on a legal challenge to the White Castle sale. Among other things, they insist that what the BLM calls variable retention regeneration harvest would be known by another name as clear cut. Oregon Wild is one of the two groups. Doug Hyken is with that group and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a bit about Oregon Wild. There are so many environmental groups out there, it's a little hard to keep track at times.
Oregon Wild started about 40 years ago. In fact, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. We've been also known by the name Oregon Natural Resources Council, and now we're headquartered in Portland. We have about 10,000 members and supporters. And a few years ago, we changed our name to Oregon Wild.
Was the name change partly because as the ONRC, you had kind of gotten to that acronym that was slung around, certainly by people in the timber industry, as not a pleasant thing?
A variety of reasons led to the name change. Some people confused us for a government agency. Some people confused us with other groups. People who'd lived in Oregon a long time knew who we were, but people who are new to the state didn't know what ONRC meant. But they get the idea when you say Oregon Wild, that's probably a group that supports wilderness areas and forests and the what's wild and good about Oregon.
So let's talk about the White Castle sale. It is in the Roseburg District of the BLM, we understand, but where specifically?
It's near the town of Myrtle Creek, and it's in the foothills of the Cascade Mountains. It's an absolutely beautiful forest, trees over 100 years old there.
And how big is the sale area? What sort of landforms around there, peaks, creeks, that sort of thing?
It's about 187 acres that they propose to log. It's in the BLM checkerboard lands, where there's a mixture of public and private lands. And those lands are absolutely critical for the movement of wildlife between the Cascades and the Coast Range. A lot of people think of their BLM lands as sort of nondescript lands in the middle of nowhere, but really they play a critical role in the functioning of our old growth ecosystem.
Now, I know we're talking 20 years old now, and there's sort of been variable adherence to the idea of the Northwest Forest Plan, but there were certain land types, things like matrix, which was where most of the timber cutting was supposed to go on, late successional reserves, et cetera. How is this land identified on those maps, and are they adhering to what the proposed uses would normally have been?
Well, the designation of the Northwest Forest Plan is matrix, which is managed for a combination of timber and certain wildlife values. But more recently, it was also designated as a critical habitat area for the northern spotted owl. And so it has these two different objectives that need to be harmonized when they prepare timber sales in an area like that.
All right, so it's really a conflict. You got the matrix on one hand, which again is supposed to provide most of the saw timber for mills, but on the same map or different maps anyway, you've got this critical habitat overlay on that. How is that usually decided, Doug?
Well, given the fact that we have endangered species, you would think that the tie would go to the more critically endangered resource. We have plenty of wood products produced in this state, primarily from private lands that are managed essentially as tree farms. Half of Oregon's forests are already devoted to timber production, and those lands don't provide all the public values that we really need from our forests, such as clean water and wildlife habitat, recovery of endangered species, recreation, carbon storage. That's what we look to our public lands for, and that's what the White Castle timber sale area could provide if it's not clear-cut.
You know, I haven't asked yet why this is called the White Castle sale. I know there could be a whole lot of reasons. I assume it has nothing to do with a burger joint, but you never know.
I don't know. BLM and Forest Service come up with creative names for their timber sales, and I honestly don't know the reason for the name in this case.
So what is the general prescription here, though? I mean, what is being proposed for this 187 acres that gets Oregon Wild and which is the other group?
Cascadia Wildlands.
And why are they so up in arms about this particular sale?
Well, there's two main reasons for this timber sale. One is that they're proposing to clear cut a absolutely beautiful forest more than 100 years old that's never been logged before. If you walk around in this forest, you get the distinct feeling that you're in a special place. The sun is filtering through these majestic large and mature trees. There's a diversity of different tree species, not just all one species like you might see in a tree farm. There's all kinds of shrubs that wildlife rely on, and it's absolutely a beautiful place to take a walk in the woods. And what they plan to do there is to clear cut it, you know, basically eliminate almost all the trees except for small pockets that they would leave uncut. So the first reason we're filing this lawsuit is to stop the clear cutting of a beautiful place. The second reason is that projects like this are kind of the tip of the chainsaw. There's a movement afoot to dramatically increase the amount of logging on our public lands, primarily from clear cutting places just like White Castle. And we think that needs much more careful study before we embark on this radical policy change.
Does the BLM even call it a clear cut in its documentation?
They prefer not to use that term. They use a term called variable retention harvest. Nobody really knows what that means, so we use a term that the public can understand, which is a clear cut. You know, virtually all the trees will be removed, except in the places where they're not removed. You know, there's patches within the 187 acres that will be called reserves. They're little pockets of, you know, 15 to 50 trees. But surrounding those little islands, it will be all the trees removed. And if you stood in the middle of it, you would say, I'm in a clear cut.
It has been said a lot about spotted owls that they need some connectivity, some contiguity. In other words, corridors, essentially, where there are still standing trees for them to be able to travel in safety, because out in the open, they are prey for other bigger birds. Is there, when you talk about these islands, are they disconnected from one another?
Well, yeah, and a small island like that would not be suitable for spotted owl, to spend any significant time in. I'm not going to say that there's no value at all to those, but the stand that's in an unlogged condition where you retain all the trees is going to be much better for the spotted owls than these little islands. There's already way too many clear cuts in Oregon, primarily on private lands. We don't need to add additional clear cuts on our public lands.
Doug Hyken is...
Go ahead. As you said, BLM lands do play this critical role connecting the landscape together. The national forests, the other side of our public land landscape is the national forests, and BLM lands are just like the national forests. We get clean drinking water, we get wildlife habitat and recreation on those lands, but they play a slightly different role, and that's that role of stitching the landscape together so that wildlife can move back and forth between the Cascades, the Coast Range, and the Klamath Mountains.
Doug Hyken, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's with the conservation group Oregon Wild, one of two groups that are opposing the White Castle timber sale proposed for the Roseburg District of the BLM near Myrtle Creek, Oregon. You can join us on the Exchange as we talk about this or more generally about timber practices with the BLM. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. You had mentioned that a lot of the clear cutting in Oregon going on private lands right now. Has there been much clear cutting on federal land in recent years? Is this, in other words, is the proposal for the White Castle sale a bit of a departure from what has been going on for, say, the past 5, 10, 15 years?
Indeed, it's a significant departure. The public lands used to be managed almost exactly like the private lands. They were aggressively clear cut, aggressively roaded, you know, a spaghetti network of eroding and crumbling logging roads throughout our public lands. They didn't respect streams. They logged right over streams, and they did that for, you know, 4 or 5 decades. And so we have a legacy of very severe impacts on our public lands. But about 1990, we finally, you know, woke up and changed policies. And so on public lands for the last 20 years, there hasn't been much clear cutting. Primarily, the agencies have focused on thinning places previously clear cut. They're thinning out those tree farms, giving the trees room to grow, getting some shrubs in there to provide different kinds of habitat. And that's a kind of logging that we can support. It provides jobs, it provides wood products, and it improves the forest. And now we're talking about going back to clear cutting, go back to the failed policies that we know don't work, the policies that pollute our water, and the ones that drove the salmon and the spotted owl toward extinction. So it is a radical departure, and we're very worried about that.
When you talk about the kind of logging you can support at Oregon Wild, and you mentioned thinning, I mean, is there a diameter of tree above which you could not support removal?
Well, generally, there's a diameter limit east of the Cascades, which is 20 inches, and that is what the scientists describe as a large tree that's valuable for wildlife. And so that's a pretty good general idea for Western Oregon. But in Western Oregon, the criteria that has been working for a while is basically to thin dense young plantations, places that were clear-cut in the past and replanted with too many trees. We can thin some of those out. Sometimes they're 12 inches, sometimes they're 16 inches, you know. The size isn't what matters, but it's an already very artificial forest. It's not really a forest. It's a tree farm, and we want to make it back to a forest. So those are the places where it's probably most appropriate to do some active management.
So, Doug Hyken, what I think I'm hearing is that if it has been cut already, you are okay with some work on there. But if it hasn't been cut yet, or certainly hasn't been cut in a century or more, then you don't support any work on there. Is that a fair assessment?
That's right. These unlogged native forests that are over 100 years old are still very rare, and they don't need any management. They can take care of themselves. So, those forests are the ones we need to conserve. There's a huge shortage of older forests because we logged way too many of them. And so places like White Castle need to be protected so they can grow into our future old growth.
We have a call online. Here's Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the White Castle timber sale near Myrtle Creek with Doug Hyken from Oregon Wild.
Yeah, thanks for hearing me. I have a comment and question. With all our great, powerful, and trying to be friendly logging companies like Weyerhaeuser and the rest of them, and they're going out of their way to take big profits from their own private lands by shipping the raw logs overseas, and they're trying to even get a terminal in Fort Newport to export raw logs overseas. And at the same time, they're spraying very bad pesticides over the Triangle Lake watershed, where all the residents out there, at least the ones that have been tested, have exactly the same chemicals in their bodies now from the herbicides they're spraying on the trees. And I just wonder, is there any possibility that we could pass, this government could pass some kind of law that would limit how much raw logs we can ship overseas when we should use them in our own mills, so then we would have jobs and maybe not have to hit these pristine forests that the federal government has, and, keep them super clean for the public and the wildlife? Is there any way we could pass some kind of law or petition system to get so the companies couldn't export raw logs overseas? It's kind of like we're killing ourselves and we're not benefiting, and we're just screwing our environment at the same time.
All right, Bill, thanks for the comment and the question. Doug?
Well, you bring up a good point, Bill. The volume that they're expecting to get off of this huge increase of clear cutting on our public lands is about the same volume that is currently exported from Oregon. If we could somehow get a handle on that log export issue, then we could divert those logs into our domestic mills, and the wood supply problem would be over. Really, there's always going to be a timber industry in Oregon, but that timber industry should be scaled appropriately for the supply, and the supply should come from private lands. Half of our forests are private. They're going to be managed for timber production, and that's where the industry needs to find its supply. Our public lands are so much more valuable for clean water and wildlife, and now carbon storage. Our climate crisis can be, part of the solution can be found in our forests if we will let our forests grow. And to increase clear cutting now is just 180 degrees the wrong solution for that.
I recall asking Bill's question of members of Congress 20-plus years ago, and I think it was then Senator Bob Packwood whose answer to clamping down on exports was, well, I'm not going to tell the small woodlot owner in Coos County they can't sell stuff off their land. What is your awareness at Oregon Wild, Doug Hyken, of what the percentages of big landowners versus small landowners and the effect of export controls on them?
Oh, I don't know the answer to that. We focus much more on public lands than private lands because the rules are set up in such a way that it's very difficult for the public to be actively involved in what goes on private lands. I think that there are brokers out there who are happy to buy from, mom-and-pop landowners who can get a premium price for exporting logs. So I think both large and small are doing that. If you are exporting logs, though, there are rules that try to prevent you from purchasing timber on federal land. And so they try to build a firewall between those two things, but you never know, that there could be some gaming of the system. So some people could be both purchasing public logs and exporting their private logs at the same time, which would be very unfortunate.
And just so listeners understand, you cannot export raw logs off of public lands. Doug Hykens, our guest. He's from Oregon Wild. We're talking about the White Castle timber sale. The phone number is again at the exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. The White Castle and any timber sale goes through so many different stages. Where is the White Castle sale now? Has it been offered but not auctioned, that sort of thing?
It has been auctioned, and the contract has been awarded, and there are certain seasonal restrictions in place for different wildlife right now, so I don't think they can log right at this moment, but we also are in court, and so hopefully we will not see logging while our case proceeds through the courthouse.
You mentioned that this is a lawsuit. It is in court. Were administrative appeals attempted before the lawsuit?
Yes, yes. There was a protest filed and an administrative appeal filed.
All right. So what do you want to do? I mean, do you want to stop the sale entirely? Do you want to modify it, turn it into something else, or just simply do not cut on this land?
Well, the White Castle project is part of what the BLM was calling a pilot project. They were doing this as an experiment. And White Castle was one part of that experiment, and then there was a couple other sales around Western Oregon that were part of that experiment. And at first, you know, when we thought this was a sincere effort to gather information and study new forms of logging, we were willing to maybe let projects like this go through. But two things changed our mind. The first was that we saw the results of another pilot project where the results were stark clear-cutting. It wasn't any kind of restoration that you could see at all. And the second thing was that we realized this was not a sincere effort to gather information. This was a sham. They'd already made up their mind to dramatically increase clear-cutting in Western Oregon. And so calling this a pilot project and saying they were going to learn from it was a joke. And that's, you know, some of the things that motivated us to file this lawsuit.
So are you recommending some alternative action, like the sale being broken up into smaller units or more selective cuts or helicopter logging or any or all of those?
Well, we'd like BLM to consider alternatives. If the goal is to produce timber, they can produce timber from thinning these young tree farms that we've been talking about. You know, BLM still has a huge backlog of stands that need to be thinned, and we would not object to that. And they could produce jobs and produce timber volume and help the ecosystem. So there's a triple win there. Projects like this, you're sacrificing all kinds of habitat values, clean water values, carbon values, just for a quick buck, and that's not necessary.
You've talked about the carbon values a couple of times. Are those markets developed enough for somebody to actually make some money off of selling carbon credits off of standing trees?
Well, you make a good point. It's difficult to make money off of carbon credits, but there's no question that you know these are publicly owned forests. And it's the public's climate, and so we don't need to be paid to protect our forest to moderate the climate. We already own those lands. We can make that decision without receiving any kind of compensation.
Earlier, Doug Hykens, when you talked about you see this White Castle sale as the tip of the chainsaw, you're really casting ahead to legislation now pending, and there's already been the House passed legislation of the Walden-DeFazio bill. And then there's also the proposed Senate legislation by Senator Ron Wyden. Do you see that as likely being more of the same if this timber sale is allowed to go ahead?
Yes, this is this project was designed in a way that is very similar to what is being proposed under the Wyden bill. The DeFazio bill would use even more aggressive clear-cutting practices. And the Wyden bill is just slightly moderated clear-cutting practices. But in both cases, it would be a dramatic shift in policy away from the thinning that's been so successful towards this much more controversial activity. And they're doing it without receiving the careful study. A lot of the rationale that underpins, their movement toward more clear-cutting, they just don't hold up to scrutiny. And so if we slowed this down and got more careful study, I think that people would realize that we don't need to clear-cut our public lands.
One of the things that's been said about the Ron Wyden proposal in the Senate is that it cuts less timber than the Walden-DeFazio plan. Walden-DeFazio-Schrader, I should say, because Representative Kurt Schrader involved in there as well as Peter DeFazio and Greg Walden. And that enough people are annoyed at it that it actually might be on the right track. But I'm going to guess that Oregon Wild opposes the Wyden plan as it stands.
Yeah, the Wyden bill would be a huge, huge loss for our forests. You know, it would dramatically increase clear cutting. It would exclude the public from the decision-making process. The public would have only 30 days every 10 years to be really deeply involved in the management of their public lands. It would require BLM to prepare 3 billion board feet worth of timber sales in a very compressed time frame, and they wouldn't have time to identify and protect all the critical resources out there, like, you know, wildlife habitat pockets and streams and springs and people's domestic water supply for neighboring private property. So there are a lot of very serious threats in the Wyden bill, and it would not be good public policy.
Does it seem sometimes from the conservation group perspective that the names have changed? Certainly Oregon Wild used to have a different name. The members of Congress have changed, but the conditions essentially are the same as they were 20, 25 years ago. We're still having some of the same arguments over some of the very same conditions?
Our public lands provide so many different things to so many different people that, you know, I guess they are sort of an arena ripe for controversy. But really, you know, we see them, if we would just look to them for public values instead of for private profit, there's really a lot of harmonious different values that we obtain from those lands that aren't in conflict, and we could see a lot of public support for real restoration and for, you know, getting clean water and wildlife habitat and recreation, and you know, all those things don't conflict with each other, so we can have great success on our public lands if we just manage them right.
Has the lawsuit against the White Castle sale gotten a hearing yet, and if not, when?
It has not received a hearing yet. We filed a complaint, and I think the next step is for the other side to issue an answer.
All right. We will see what happens. It's the White Castle timber sale in the BLM Roseburg District near Myrtle Creek. Clear cut or variable retention regeneration harvest. Pick your terminology there. Doug Hyken is with Oregon Wild. Doug, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you.
All right. Short break, and then back with Garrison Keillor.